So you should always trust it. Always, no matter what. No matter what your brain says. No matter how you feel.
That's, you don't have to, but if you want to feel good, it's a good idea.
Right. So no matter what, you get an impulse. You know, you want to say something to somebody, but you don't feel like saying it, so you don't. If you want to feel good. And yes, I'm answering my own question, I guess. But I want a confirmation, I guess. Because sometimes I feel like not doing something, so I don't do it because I've been listening to you for years. And then my brain says, you know, you really should be doing that, but I'm trusting my feelings.
Well, you see, at any moment in time, there is a relativity between the non-physical source energy projecting to you and through you aspect of you, and the what you're doing with your physical conscious mind aspect of you. And some might question, well, why wouldn't we just come into this physical body and source just come with us, and why wouldn't we just proceed? And we say, that was what you intended and that's how it was in the beginning. But because of your diversity, which is essential to all of our expansion, sometimes you get caught up in the contrast, knowing what you don't want, spend too much time pushing against what you don't want. And so as an individual or as a mass consciousness, you develop these habits of, we could call them discord, we always call them resistance, but we could call it of disallowance or pinching off of the fullness of what you are summoning. Now, this is the thing that's interesting. It's like you summon it, but try to hold it back, and summon it and try to hold it back, and summon it and try to hold it back. You're not doing it consciously, but you're doing it with those thoughts that you've picked up along your physical trail. Now, when you come into a understanding, as we are offering it, and as Esther is finding wonderful words to describe it, and you begin resonating with some of what you're hearing, and then noticing how some of what you're hearing makes sense in terms of some of what you're living, then you begin to integrate this knowing, and then you begin to get a better balance as you are moving through the contrast of your world. And that's really what you want. You did not want to come into a world where there was no contrast, because you knew the contrast was what the new is made from. And since we are all eternal beings, you understood fully, and you were completely willing to come and explore the contrast. You also knew that you had this non-physical backing you that would let you know at any time that you were sort of getting out of balance. That's why all of the things that we've talked about here today have been so productive in terms of carrying this message to this new place that we are on the brink of. Because as we begin with the idea that well-being does abound, well, sometimes you're willing to say that and sometimes not so much. It depends on where you're standing within the contrast, and it depends on how much of who you really are you're allowing in any moment in time. The other day, Esther was sitting in her home. It's in the Rocky Mountains in Utah. And it's up on a mountain, and it overlooks a beautiful view. And it was created many years ago by a man who is a master woodworker. And in fact, the man who created this magnificent space lived right next door. He sold the land to the original owner and was the contractor and artist who carved magnificent rooms. So Esther has been there for a while. She bought the house 2 years ago and isn't there much, but is in love with life extra when she is there, because the beauty of it is just conducive to feeling good. But as we were describing earlier, how you can get into a tub of water that at first feels one way and then you sort of get used to it. So she'd sort of gotten used to this magnificence. Sort of like, yeah, now what? Not really, but much less dramatic and dynamic than at first. So one morning recently, she awakened. And she's sitting there in the living room with her friend. And as they're sitting there, they were basking in the beauty of the place. Esther could not get her eyes off of the carvings. She saw carvings she had not seen before. She couldn't get enough of it. And they sat there and they sat there, 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 and they sat there. And they just talked about it, especially Esther. She could not stop marveling at the beauty of the room that she was sitting in. An hour passed. She continued. Another hour passed. She continued. And she said several times, "I don't want to get out of this chair." And then they got hungry. And so they got in the car and off they were going to forage in the forest for food. And as they were going down the driveway, the house next door where the magnificent carver lives, there were a lot of people standing in the driveway. And Esther said, "Hold on a minute." And she got out and she went over to talk to them through the bushes. And she said, "What's going on?" And she was told that Mr. McDonald had made his transition. Just now. And Esther is thinking, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder this felt more delicious to me than it has ever, ever felt. The man who dreamed it, who conjured it, who planned it, who worked it, who built it, who carved it, who loved it. And Esther said to his son, "I so meant to come and say hello. He's been sick for a while." And his son said, "Oh, he wasn't ready for company. He wasn't ready to see you. But I want you to know that your house is his greatest work." And so we give this to you because we want you to understand that there is source energy within you that feels that way about you. Our greatest work. About what you are doing and what you are saying and where you are standing and what you are smelling and what you are seeing and what you are hearing. Esther knew for sure that this man in his newly realized freedom and exhilaration for life went right to the thing that mattered most to him for a little while and basked with her, and in her openness, she got to feel the fullness of it, and it was indescribable. We have not been able to find vibrations that will match words that she can find to even give you a tip of the iceberg of what that feeling was like. She did not want to get out of that chair. She wanted that moment in time to last forever and ever and ever. But you don't need just one moment in time to last forever and ever, because there's another and it's another and another and another and another. And someone, something, someone who is important to you and you important to them is with you all day, every day. Well-being does abound. Doesn't it make you realize how much more there is that you're barely scratching the surface of the joy and the abundance and the exhilaration and the passion and the love that is available to you this moment and this moment and this moment and this moment and this moment? And doesn't it make you want to stop looking outside of yourself for others to do their jig and dance their dance and stand on their head in ways to please you? Doesn't it make you want to go within where it all is, where all of the resources of all of it are? And don't you want to understand the whole cycle of life, where you were source energy, you were that before you came into this body, but you still are that even though you are in this body? And then here you get to sift and sort and decide and define for you. And you throw it forward, you throw it forward, these rockets of desire forward into the vortex. And law of attraction takes them as soon as you offer them and brings cooperative components to them and holds them steady for your realization. For your realization, for your preparing yourself for the readiness, for the well-being that you deserve, that you have created. Because you didn't just start with this physical being. You have been around for so long. There is so much goodness. There is so much value that is represented now by you as you stand here. You don't know it. You hardly ever see it. But it's there. And we all know it. And we all see it. And we're all flowing. And then every now and again, somebody like Esther has a sort of kind of experience where she gets a little glimpse of how non-physical really feels, and her mourning is turned into ecstasy, And then she understands just for a bit that she's not out here alone in her physical body. None of you are. You are here as extensions of so much more. And it's all for the purpose of the ecstasy in this realization of it. You're not here to prove worthiness or to fix a broken world. It's not broken. You're here to decide from your point of view and to add to the magnificence that you are and to demonstrate and witness in this now through your ability to allow yourself to receive it now, you see. Doesn't it just make you want to chill out? Chill out and be easier? Doesn't it make you want to revel in the good stuff and ignore the stuff that doesn't feel so good for a moment and allow the true momentum of who you are to flow? Because it is right for you and it is meant by you and for you to just have moment after moment after moment after moment after moment like that. Just like that.
So what's going on here is basically magic.
What's going on here is basically normal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's like a sea of energy around Esther, and it's in this whole room, and it fills the whole space. And I guess that's how the universe is if you tap into it.
It's what someone in the receptive mode allows. Yeah. So the energy comes forth in a more demonstrable, more discernible, more decipherable. But it's always in the eye of the receiver, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.